brother, Danny Fitzgerald. Morning. Well, good morning. My customer and my friend Chris Graves is here today. Would you get up and introduce yourself, Chris? Pleasure to have my friend Chris Graves here. He's also my customer. I want you to pray for Chris. We've been praying for him. You've been hearing me say Chris Graves. This is the man that we became friends through business, but friends spiritually through tragedies in this man's life. About 8-9 years ago, he lost his father, who they ran a big furniture company. Last year, Chris lost his son, 20-something years old. And 2 weeks ago, Chris lost his brother at 50 years old. And I was privileged and honored to be able to take the funeral. So that's the man we're praying for. I try to ask these guys outside of here to come here so you guys can see who we're praying for. So today, my little paper I put together is, I'll talk about love. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had Valentine's Day and all these other holidays, and we buy these little candies and chocolates and cards and write these little things and try to express our love, show love. So as I was thinking about this out to dinner with my wife one night, I thought, you know, I put this little thing together. It's not a big deal. But I asked myself, what is love? Well, I looked it up, and man, in his dictionary, would describe love as an intense feeling of deep affection. A person or thing that someone loves. A deep romantic attachment. We show our love in various ways. We provide for people, our children. We may hug or kiss to express love, or buy things such as gifts to show our love. But do we really know how to express love? Do we really know what true love is and how to demonstrate it? Title of my message is Tainted Love. God has agape love, which means it's an unconditional love. It's an all-encompassing love. It's the love of God for mankind. Agape love. God demonstrates his love to us, but he sees love different than we do. He sees love through his eyes, pure, for God is holy. Whereas we see tainted love. We're going to look at some of the ways God demonstrates his love today towards us. It begins in a dirty, filthy place in Bethlehem, a manger, when his love was manifested in the flesh to demonstrate his love to humankind. Then it's silent as time goes on. Our love gift from God grows up as a carpenter. Then he's back on the scenes here, around 30 years old, and starts demonstrating some of the ways of God's love. In Mark 8:2, we see a man with leprosy. Leprosy is a skin disease that would make you quarantine from the public. And if you were in the public, you had to put your hand over your face, and you'd have to scream loud, unclean, unclean, constantly while you were in the public so people could get out of your way. What a horrible way to live life. The love of God sees this man and has compassion on this leper and heals him. Matthew 8:30, a man possessed by a demon. What a life to have a demon in you. We talk about the demons we have, such as anger, addictions, whatever the case may be. But a real live demonic spirit in you is a whole other ballgame. These men would be walking around out of their minds, insane convulsions foaming from the mouth. But the love of God cast this unclean spirit out of this man. A paralyzed man laying there and can't walk or move, but can only beg. You see these kind of people these days in wheelchairs. In them days, they laid on the ground. And they're all mangled these days in wheelchairs. God in his love says, rise up and walk. The love of God demonstrated. Matthew 9, we see a man who lost his daughter. She had died. God showing unconditional love raises her from the dead. Imagine that. The joy it must have brought to this family. Or the blind people. Imagine being blind or crippled. The struggles it would add to life. But God's gift of love touches them and they're healed. He also shows great compassion on his friend Martha when her brother Lazarus dies and raises him from the dead. The famous passage, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. The passage we used at Chris's brother's funeral. Or what about those he saw hungry, with no way to feed their children that day, and fed them by the thousands, time and time again? How about his close friends, as he showed them the love of God on a daily basis? Them seeing all the great compassion, and even giving them the power to display this same love, growing so close to 12 men that they would even say to him, we love you so much, Jesus, that we will die for you. You ever said that in your mind? Guy came in here and said, you believe in God? Would you die for him? These 12 men said they would. Remember, all 12 said it. As they went from town to town showing the love of God, feeding and healing feeble people, what a great time it must have been, displaying the love of God. No wonder the people spread their clothes and laid palm branches when they came into town and said, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of God. Some of the ways God demonstrating his love to us. Pretty fascinating. There's a lot more stories of the Lord Jesus and his crew healing people from wicked diseases. But as some appreciate pure love, others don't. As humankind love grows cold, God's love stays unconditional. And don't forget that. As humankind's love grows cold, God's love stays unconditional. Very important that you file that in your archives as you go through this life. His life is never changing. We see humankind's love growing cold in Matthew 26:47. If you want to turn there, you can. If you don't, it's the last verse I'll read. You can follow along in the story. We saw the ministry of the Lord's life and his friends as he healed people, the compassion and the love he showed, God's love. But human love grows cold. God's love stays unconditional. Man expresses love in various ways, as we saw. So does God. We see humankind's love growing cold in Matthew 26. One of his friends named Judas betrays him to the leaders. These leaders didn't appreciate his love and were jealous of all the appreciation others were giving him for the love he expressed to them. The envy that built in these leaders led them to remove him from the public eye any way they could. Religion is dangerous. Religious leaders are murderers. So there in Matthew 26, 47, we pick up the story. There he is standing there with his close friends. These leaders and a mob of men show up with the friend of his named Judas, who didn't appreciate his love either. They come and arrest him like a criminal. His friend Peter hits the guard with a sword and cuts his ear off. But the unconditional love of God touches his ear and heals him. They cuff him and take him to their headquarters. There he stands in front of the main leader and the council. They question him. Are you the Son of God? Which is to say, are you God? But he's silent. So they force him by the living God to swear by the living God, not knowing that he is standing right in front of them, and God cannot deny himself. He says he is. But then he says, and you shall see him one day coming in the power and glory. One of the guards slaps him and says, you talk to the high priest like that? You answer him like that? They say, this is enough. We will kill him because he said he is a king and he is God. You would think after following him for 3 years and watching him feed thousands and healing multitudes, they would have been a little reluctant to make such a radical decision. But they continued to abuse their authority. So they blindfold him, punch him in the face and say, prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? Then they would take the blindfold off and spit in his face, punch him, put the blindfold back on, and do it again. Prophesy, which one of us hit you? Meanwhile, the writer shoots off for a second, so it gives us a glimpse of the love of mankind. All his friends forsake him. And the leader of the friends, Peter, is cursing and swearing up and down he don't know him. As they abuse him all night, mocking him, spitting on him, and thinking of ways to kill him, they wanted the worst death known to mankind, crucifixion. So they plotted a way to bring him to the governor, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Early in the morning, they made their way there with him bound and beaten. Now Jesus stood before Pilate, the governor. I wonder what Pilate thought. He's all bloody, with spit all over his face all swollen, all distorted. Pilate, knowing the prestige of a king and seeing this man all deranged, probably was a little embarrassed for him. But he has to answer the question of the allegations that are brought before him by his accusers. So he says, are you the king of the Jews? He says, it is as you say. He answers Pilate because he's not in the mix of this false trial yet. As he answers, his accusers shout out obscenities, but he won't answer them. Pilate is stunned that he won't answer a word. Pilate is intrigued. Pilate thinks of a way to get him out of it. He asks for a criminal and release for Jesus. There are many in the prison, but they ask for the most notorious one named Jesus Barabbas. Jesus Barabbas, Pilate says. What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They scream as loud as they could. Crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate says, why? What wrong has he done? But louder and louder they yell, crucify him. Pilate says, I will whip him, hoping to please the bloodthirsty mob and be able to release him. So the guards take him and scourge him. Scourging was a very violent and painful. Most victims didn't survive it. The whips had strands of leather with metal woven into it. So when they whipped him, it would tear his flesh wide open. So they beat him on his back and legs. His body was a bloody massacre. The guards twist thorns and made a crown and pressed it into his head. Then they stripped him naked and put a stick in his hand, representing a king's scepter. They put a piece of purple fabric over his shoulders. They bowed their knee to him, saying, greetings, king. And they would spit in his face and slap him, taking turns bowing to him. Hail, king of the Jews. They pulled his beard out and his hair. Taking the stick out of his hands, they would hit him over the head with it, driving the thorns deep into his skull. Then they drag him into Pilate, and he questions him. But this time, Jesus doesn't answer. Pilate is in the mix with these religious murderers and this unlawful sentencing. So he brings him out in front of the mob, the angry crowd. Pilate says, behold the man. The word behold means to look at intensely, with continued affection. It means to examine. It means to inspect something thoroughly. Has the mind of a survey. It actually means to survey. Behold the man. Today, we're going to behold the man. I want you to get the image in your head. He's on the stage with Pontius Pilate. If you have to close your eyes to get the image in your head, do it. The man, he's just an ordinary man, but extraordinary in character. The man who healed the blind when they cried for the gift of sight. He touched them, and they could see the beauty of the sky, the sunset and the stars for the first time, to see the ocean, to see innocent kids play. Or to maybe see one of their children get married. Behold the man when the paralyzed had no hope or help but to lay in the streets begging for food or someone to carry them out of the scorching sun or the pouring rain And he, with an all-encompassing love, says, rise up and walk. The joy the individual would have to be able to walk, run, and care for himself. Or the hungry, as he fed thousands at a time because of the compassion he has for the feeble. Behold the man whose friends that he gave the power to do miracles and he supported through his ministry. To look into his innocent face and to say to him that they would die for him, but disowned him like a leper at his hour of need. Are you beholding him? Are you looking intensely at him? Are you examining him? I want you to survey him with total observation today. What do you see? You see the gift of God. You see love in its fullest. The love that only God could show. The very love of his heart. You see love in its fullest estate. While you're there, what do you see? Do you see real love? There he is. I want you to look real close at him. The man Jesus. What do you see? Do you see him? I see him. He's standing there in front of a large crowd. He's got a purple-colored piece of cloth across his shoulders. It's drenched in blood. He's naked and his face is distorted from being beaten all day and night. Can you see the muscle tissue and the bones that the whip had torn wide open? Can you see him? Can you see him yet? He's right in front of you. The man with the crown of thorns stuck in his blood-stained head. I know he's hard to see because he's covered in spit and slobber. You're starting to see him yet? Starting to see him now, aren't you? Yes, it's the man who healed those blind people and raised that one guy's daughter from the dead. The man who fed thousands time and time again. Yes, that's him, the one who rode the donkey and the people said they loved him. Blessed is he that come in the name of God. Yes, I see him now, do you? Now can you hear the sound of the large crowd? Listen close. Can you hear them shouting something? It sounds like crucify. Crucify. Crucify him. Do you hear the governor, the leader? He says, I deliver him to you to crucify him. I wash my hands. I'm innocent of this man's blood. But you may be saying right now, he can't wash his hands. He's not innocent of his blood. Neither are you. Neither am I. We can't wash our hands. We're not innocent. So they take him. They put a big wooden plank over his shoulder. And they lead him from Pilate's residence across the street to a big rocky hill shaped like a skull. So they lie him on the wooden plank. They lay another one across it and they nail them together. The soldiers hold his arm and one of them nails his hand to the plank. They repeat it on the other hand. As his feet are swinging and kicking from excruciating pain, They grab his legs and hold him. Then they drive nails through his feet into the plank. Then they dig a hole, and all of them pick up this big wooden structure with him nailed to it. And they stand it upright, and they place it in the hole so everyone can see him. Hanging there, bloody, naked, beaten shamefully, nailed to a wooden structure. Well, you can see him now, clear as day. So can everybody else. So can the people that are passing by, as they wag their heads in disgust and slander him. You know the passerbyers, the ones wagging their head in disgust. They're the ones that ate his food when their children were hungry. The one whose neighbor was healed by him or one of their friends. Those some short time ago were shouting, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of God." That said they loved him. They loved him with a tainted love. How about you? Do you love him as you did some short time ago? Or do you love him with a tainted love? Do you love him when he feeds you with his blessings? Do you love him when you're sick and helpless? And then they watch him. There he is, and they all just watch him. He's not much to look at, is he? He's a marred mess. So they shout out, "Save yourselves. You saved others, you can't save yourself." Friends, he didn't come here to be saved. He came here to save you and me. As he hangs there, through all the evil that mankind could do to a human, there's nothing more that they can do. He's beaten to a pulp, whipped to shame, body exposed in his shame, and nailed to a wooden cross. They can only watch now. As they glory in their finished product, something happens. Darkness fills their world. They light torches to see the end results. Finally, his silence breaks. Through all the beating, all the spitting, all the vulgar assaults, he utters a sound. The mob screams for silence. To hear him maybe utter a word of regret or a slander at his accusers. But what they hear in the darkness of silence is the sound of love itself. A love from beyond the vast of the reason. The sound comes from his voice, the words of love that shatters the only tainted love they have ever known. Listen to the words of pure love in its fullest. Listen close. Can you hear his words? Listen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you see God's love that was manifested in the flesh? Do you hear the very words of the very source of love? If you didn't, I want you to listen a little closer. He's getting ready to say something else. Shh. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's love gift says, forgive them, forsake me. This is pure love demonstrated. This is God's love. When he showed us the love by healing us from blindness, being lame, paralyzed, casting out our demons, this is how we demonstrate our love in return. Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for this story of your Son, the Lord Jesus. For you so loved the world, us, that you gave your only begotten Son. Whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life. You gave him a ransom, and we're reminded of that today, how men really love. And we're reminded today how you really love. It's a faithful saying we have that God demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet enemies with God. Christ died for us. Father, we pray for change in our hearts today that we can absorb a reflection of the very love of the one you're pleased with, the Lord Jesus. We thank you now. I ask you for blessing on our day. In Jesus' name, amen.